Welcome to the Shi'an Kli Yachar Parshas Ekev. I wanted to take a look at some passages in the Kli Yachar tonight that comment on Pesukim, which Be'ezus Hashem are very familiar to us. As we know, the second Parsha of Kriya Shema, V'Ayoyim Shamoa, is towards the end of Parshas Ekev. So to that end, I want to see some of the comments that the Kli Yachar makes on that Parsha. Hopefully, by virtue of the fact that we recite that Parsha twice a day, at least, the comments will stay with us to a much greater extent.
Thank you.
So in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hayoyim Shamoa Tishmeu, Pirush Rashi, Im Tishmu B'yoshon Tishmu B'chadosh. So Rashi comments on the double lashon Shamoa Tishmeu, if you listen, and Rashi quotes from the Gemara that the double lashon is meant to teach us the following: if you listen with regard to the old, you'll be able to listen with regard to the new. What does that mean? So Rashi explains in Masechet Brachos, which is the source for this comment, that this is basically, in a sense, a push for chazara, for reviewing the material that a person has learned. And we spoke about that in a different context the other day. Im tishmu b'yashon, if you make a point of going over the learning that you already have, the old learning, tishmu b'chadosh, you'll be able to absorb the new learning. But by contrast, if you're not going to make an effort to absorb the old learning, to review what you've already learned, so you can't build on a shaky foundation. If you're going to try to learn new and you haven't really mastered the old, the new information is not really going to go in either. So you need to review the old information, that which you know already, in order to be able to absorb the new information. So that's Rashi explaining Rashi. That's Rashi explaining the Gemara upon which the Rashi and Chumash is based. The Kli Yachar gives a little bit of a twist on it, which is unique. Kikach amu razal shischar mitzvah mitzvah ushmiya goveres shmiya dahainu min hayashon elachadosh. Why is it that im tishmu b'yashon tishmu b'chadosh? Why is it that if you put your mind to trying to absorb the old learning, that you'll be able to absorb the new learning? So we just explained it, and I think this is what Rashi means in Masechet Brachos, that it's really a cause and effect. It's a very natural kind of promise that the Torah is making. You can't, if you're going through a math textbook and you haven't mastered chapters 1, 2, and 3, you're going to have a very hard time mastering chapter 4. Because chapter 4 is presumably based on all of the information that you learned in 1, 2, and 3. So you can't start in the middle of the textbook. So, Lahavdil is the same thing by Torah. In other words, if you haven't mastered the introductory material, how are you going to be able to master the newer material that you're learning? But the Kli Yachar gives a slightly different twist on what that means. He relates it to the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which we're going to read this week. Schar mitzvah mitzvah, and mitzvah goreres mitzvah. One mitzvah pulls another mitzvah along in its wake. If you do one mitzvah, it makes it easier and pulls along another mitzvah. By the same token, says the Kli Yachar, shmiya goreres shmiya. I think that's his own term. But learning in one area gets you to learn in another area. The more learning you do, the more learning it pulls along with it. The more understanding you have, the more further understanding it pulls along with it. That is to say, from the old learning to the new learning. Let me just paraphrase. I think this is implicit in what the Kli Yachar is saying. And I think even if it's not quite exactly what he's saying, I think the idea is true, certainly. Sometimes we wonder, whether for ourselves or for others who are close to us, how to quote-unquote get into learning, right? Either for ourselves, we'd like to motivate ourselves to learn more than we actually are, or Talmidim, or people we know, we'd like to quote-unquote get them into learning, right? I'd love to learn. I'm just not really sure where to start. So the idea of the Kli Yachar, Shmiya Goveres Shmiya, is in a sense a very deceptively simple idea. The best way to get into learning is to learn. Now, again, on a certain level, that's circular, right? But I think the way you would apply it in practical life is, you know, I like to get into learning. Oftentimes when we say to ourselves, I'd like to get into learning, we then follow with the statement, I'll start tomorrow, right? And every day you'll start tomorrow to get into learning. So that's a good way to not get into learning, to always be starting to learn, you know, to always be starting tomorrow. The best way to get into learning is to force yourself to sit down and learn. And even if you only are able to force yourself to sit down and learn for a relatively short period of time, every act of learning that you do, you know, primes the pump, if you will, for further learning. Shmiya goreres shmiya, right? The more you learn and the more you try to understand, the easier it makes it to learn and to understand. So, you know, I again, perhaps ironically or perhaps deceptively, simplistically, the best way to get into learning is to force yourself to learn a little bit. And, you know, once you're in that habit, you know, learning is a habit-forming type of activity. And again, as he puts it, shmiya gorera shmiya. So that's one lesson, I think, to take away. I mean, we say this parasha twice a day, at least. V'hayoyim shamo atishmu. Right? If you want to learn more, you know, first start off by learning, right? Shama atishmu. If you learn a little bit, that will get you into learning even a little bit more. A second idea, right? He has a bunch of short, relatively unconnected ideas that he presents, but they're all based around the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. Masha Omar b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshichem v'lo nemar b'chol me'odchem. One of the things that's striking when you contrast the parsha of Yohavta with the parsha of Hayom Shamoa is that, you know, in Yohavta it says Yohavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And in contrast, in Hayom Shamoa says b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, with all of your plural hearts, with all of your plural souls, but there's no b'chol me'odecha, with all your plural might. Why is b'chol me'odchem not there? L'fi ma shepirish Rashi l'kach nema b'chol me'odecha l'fi sheyesh l'cha adam shemamono chaviv alav migufo midaka amar yesh l'cha adam shema mina shedavar zeh bilti matzli kim b'adam echad o mistei mispar shebat l'dayta meitzel kal adam avo lo b'tzibur ki lo shchiach hadavar shirani yaskim adeh anifsado zeh. To answer this question, why b'chol me'odchem is absent from the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, says the Kli Yakar, we first have to define what b'chol me'odecha means in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema. We know that Rashi brings multiple interpretations, all of them from the Gemara, where the Gemara itself brings multiple interpretations. According to one shot, b'chol me'odecha, says Rashi, is b'chol ma'monecha. You should love God with all of your money. So ask Rashi the Kasha, against the Gemara's Kasha, why do you have to say that you should love God with all of your money? If it says that you should love God with all of your soul, in other words, a readiness to give up your life itself. So if you're ready to give up your life for God, certainly shouldn't you be ready to give up your money for God? So Dr. Rashi, no, not necessarily. Yesh l'cha adam. There is such a thing as a person who, when, you know, he gets mugged in a dark alley and the mugger sticks the gun in his chest and says, buddy, your money or your life, there is such a person who will say, would you mind waiting a few minutes? I just want to consider, you know, which of those two, I want to weigh the options, you know, I don't want to make a hasty decision over here. There are people who value their money more than their lives. So for such people, you know, it's not sufficient for the Torah to say that you should be ready to give up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Torah also has to say you should be ready to give up your money for the Ribbono Shel Olam, because, you know, one doesn't necessarily follow from the other. So says the Kli Yakar, we know that one of the major difference between the Ahavta and the Hayoyim Shamal is that the Ahavta is addressed to the individual. It's written in the second person singular. Whereas the Hayom Shamoa is addressed to the community, it's written in the second person plural. And says the Kli Yakar, while it's true that you might find individuals who value their money more than their lives, you won't find as the tzibur that a community values its money more than its continued existence. You can find people like that. Again, he says, the Lashon of Gemara is, Yesh lecha adam, there is such a thing as the person who values his money more than his life. So when the Torah is speaking to individuals, it can address such individuals. When the Torah is speaking to a tzibur, it's clear that from the tzibur's perspective, the tzibur recognizes that life is a greater value than money itself.
Do we have to use the Lashon of
Right. So, first of all, it's important to note within Chazal, learning and doing are not two separate things. Right? In other words, you know, we don't believe in just learning about Shabbos and not keeping Shabbos. No, Torah is something which is meant to be learned, but then implemented. So, you know, when the line between learning and doing is a fine line, I think, from the Torah's perspective. But we do find the Lashon Lishmoa in terms of learning. I mean, just to take a bracha, you know, from a bracha we say every day, the same b'libeinu, bina, lishmoa, lilmod, ulilameh.
But the opposition is lilmod. If they just had lishmoa, I can understand what Rob is saying. The fact that they grew in the lashon of lilmod means lishmoa by itself aids in addition, but it by itself does not mean learning.
Right, so I, the way I would translate it is lishmoa means to just absorb information, lilmod is to, you know, to harava over the information, you know, to really, you know, deepen one's understanding of the information to a greater extent. But, you know, again, lishmoa just means literally to hear, you know, to first just, you know, hear what the Rebbe or the text has to say. And lilmod means to deepen our understanding. And the truth is, it fits it nicely in the Lashon HaBracha. You know, lishmoa, lilmod, ulameh. First I hear it, then I really work on it, and then I'm at a point where I can even teach it to others. Okay, so that's one explanation why B'chol Me'odchem is not presented by the Torah itself. There's a second interpretation. So Rashi brings another explanation, also from the Gemara, as to what B'chol Me'odecha means. B'chol Me'odecha means B'chol Mido Mido Shumodeg Lecha. No matter what happens to you in life, you should always, you know, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Love God no matter what. B'chol Me'odecha. So says the Kli Yakar, that particular interpretation of B'chol Me'odecha is a good reason not to include some equivalent of B'chol Me'odchem in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema as well. Why? Because Hare Parasha Zo Medaberes Mizman Kabbalah Saskar. At least most of Parshas V'Hayayim Shamoa speaks about what the Jews are doing when the Jews are doing the Ratzon Hashem, when we're doing what God wants us to do. V'hu Eitz Dodim. It's the time of God's love for us. V'ein Shayeches HaBracha Sha'al HaRa'a L'kan Ki Ein Olof Kafi Azman Shu Omeg Bo. Consider the context, he says. If you listen to God b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem, v'nostati mitarachem be'ito, so then everything's going to be great. The lashon b'chol me'odchem wouldn't make sense, because b'chol me'odchem would mean if you listen to God even when things are bad, right? And in the context of the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, things are not bad. Things are good. Right, we're getting the schar, we're getting the reward for the mitzvahs that we're doing. So hence, the term b'chol me'odchem would be out of place. In the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, we're not talking about when things are davka good, when God is rewarding us. The Torah makes a blanket statement. You should love God no matter what. You have to say, Shem Elokecha b'chol me'odecha. Right? B'chol mido mido shumodeg lecha. You know, no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the context of the second parasha, with its focus on times that are good and God rewarding us, doesn't lend itself to a discussion of loving God despite the fact that you know, things are bad.
Well, maybe that Hashem will reward you if you love God,
So Lachara, that's a good kasha on what he's saying on the Kli Yochir, meaning you could say as follows: if you listen to God in the bad times, v'nosati mitar arzuchem be'ito, so then I'm going to change the bad times into good times, right? So I'm not sure. It could be that what he means is as follows: not that it's logically impossible to make such a statement, right? But being that the focus of the second parsha is on the good times, the Torah, so to speak, doesn't want to mar its description of the good times by introducing this less than ideal note into the discussion. Not that logically it couldn't make sense, because again, logically it could make sense. You know, even when things are terrible and hard, you still listen to the mitzvahs, so then I'll reward you. But the Torah doesn't want to focus on that. You know, the Torah doesn't want to take away from the upbeat kind of tone that it's employing over here. So the Torah, you know, uses the lashon that it does. Va'od nira she'ein tzarech lomar kan she'yavod Hashem b'chol midah shel modei lo afilu bezman kabbalas hara. A second interpretation as to why B'chol Ma'odchem is not used, if we assume that B'chol Ma'odchem means no matter what, even in bad times you worship Hashem, says the Kli Yochir, it doesn't say it because if you just read the Parsha itself, it says it later on in the very Parsha of Hayom Shama. There's no need. Not that it would be out of place, but there's no need to say that if you worship Hashem b'chol ma'odchem, God will reward you, because it's as follows: the pasuk says, "Avadatem mehera mi'al ha'aretz hatova." If you don't listen to Hashem, so then you will be exiled out of the land of Israel. And then it says, "V'samtem es devar ha'el alavavchem." You should place these words on your hearts. Rasa lomar she'afilu bizman shitzon ovdos yiyu. Says the Kli Yochir, again quoting or paraphrasing Rashi to an extent, the Torah itself in the parasha of Hayom Shamoa speaks of our need to serve God even when things are difficult. The Torah describes how if we don't do the mitzvot, we will be exiled from Eretz Yisrael. And then it follows up immediately by saying, you should place these words of Torah on your hearts and on your souls. Meaning, even when you're in galus, even when you're in galus because of your sins, you should nonetheless continue to be committed to Torah and mitzvot. In other words, the Torah itself in this parasha is spelling out b'chol ma'odchem. You know, that, you know, a person has to be committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in good times as well as bad times. So since that's spelled out anyway in the parasha, there's no need to make it even more explicit by adding in the words b'chol ma'odchem in the earlier part of the parasha. V'nevra ha-parasha b'loshen rabim chutz mev'yosafta d'gonecha ki chei ne'mar v'avaditem as Hashem elokechem uverach islach mecha. Sheperishu harishonim ki avodas Hashem tova yoser b'tzibur k'mo shekasuv en keo kabir v'lo yimas aval ha'achilo tova yoser k'shekol echor olchel pito levado v'lo yarbe b'sudas mireyim. Points out another interesting grammatical fact in the parasha, again one which we notice when we go over it, you know, on a daily basis. The entire second parasha of Kriya Shema is almost entirely b'lashon rabim. It's almost entirely in the plural, with a few notable exceptions, right? V'ayom shama tishmu el mitzvosai la'avos Hashem elokeichem la'avdo v'nosati mitar arzuchem be'ito yore u'makosh, right? I'll make it rain in your plural lands. V'yosafto digonecha, and you, singular, will gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, right? Why does it say that in the singular? So he says as follows: in most aspects of our avodas Hashem, or of our communal life, the community enhances our ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, and here I would add, sometimes. Sometimes, when it comes to certain things, it's not always good to seek out a community way of doing things. There's certain aspects of life where you're better off, at least sometimes, being a little bit on your own. One of those things is eating a meal. Right? Eating a meal, says the Kli Yakar, is something which is better doing on your own as opposed to doing within a big group. So when the Torah speaks about the ideal picture as painted in the second parasha of Vayayim Shamoah, so it mostly speaks in the plural. You know, you'll come together, you'll do this, but when you gather in your grain and you're going to sit down to dinner, that's something you do by yourself. What does Kli Yakar mean by that? I mean, sounds a little bit antisocial, right? But besides sounding antisocial, on the surface it doesn't seem to fit in with many aspects of halacha. I mean, we know that when we have a celebration in Jewish life, right, we eat. I mean, that's, everybody knows that. Even non-Jewish people know that, right? When we have a celebration in Jewish life, we eat, and we eat together, right? We make a big deal about having a zimun, that not just a zimun of three, but ideally a zimun of ten, that we should be able to eat together. Any kind of Seudas Mitzvahs, everything is enhanced by having the community eat together. Right? So what's he talking about? That Ha'achila Tova Yosef Kishikol Echad Ochel Pito Levado Lo Yarbe B'Sudas Mereyim. What's he talking about? You shouldn't have a lot of sudos with friends. Good for everybody to go and eat his sandwich by himself. Wow, I mean, that's, you know, okay, if you're a super introvert, you understand what he's talking about, but that's really the ideal that we're talking, that's the ideal that we see for Jewish society? So I think perhaps what he means is as follows. Again, my own understanding of what he has in mind over here. Yeah.
Rabbi Nachman is getting us closer.
Right. No, so there definitely isn't this idea of his photos, you know, the writings of Nachman Breslover in particular, this idea of, you know, being by yourself and the like, but an hour, right? He didn't say 24 hours, right? You know, every time you sit down to eat, you know, you close the shades, you know, you lock the door, you know, I mean, it's a little antisocial. I think maybe what he means is as follows, and if this is what he means, the truth is it's something that I think a lot of us, you know, can take the Musaf to heart. There are people who never eat dinner at home, right? Why? Because they're always running out to some kind of social affair here, there, or the other place. Sometimes it's a Seudas Mitzvah, okay, but sometimes it's a lifestyle, which is a lifestyle of getting together with the guys, or, you know, hopefully not getting together with the gals, you know, but getting together with the guys, you know, we're going out, we're going to this party or that party and, you know, going all over the place. There's something to be said for having the meal at home. And by home, I don't think he means over here, you know, that you as an individual should sit and lock yourself in the kitchen and just eat by yourself. I think what he means is that the family as a unit should eat together. You know, that feels safta de gonecha. You singular, meaning you and your bnei bayis, you and your household. It's very, very important for the family to be able to share a meal together. While it's important for the community to share meals together on occasion, but for a person to have a lifestyle where, you know, he's never eating dinner at home with the family and he's always running around from place to place, you know, participating in a Seudas Mereyus, you know, and this party and that party and the other party, it rips family life apart, right? It's not a healthy thing from that perspective. So that, if we're correct, that idea of, you know, the classic family supper, I mean, the studies that are done that show that, you know, there's a greater degree of shalom bayis and all kinds of good things that come out from the family being able to eat together. That concept of the family dinner, the family supper, is implicit in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, v'yosafta digonecho, not v'yosaftem diganchem, but v'yosafta digonecho, you, the individual and your family should be together. Right, but you know, the farmer of those times when you brought in the grain, you didn't sell it commercially. When you brought in the grain, you then ate it. In other words,
the farmer, are we talking about that roughly that you have sufficient grain to this host and the farmer therefore would get through more grain?
Right, but I think, again, you know, obviously it's the words of the Torah in a literal sense are oriented towards the farming society. Everybody had their farm, and everybody lived off of their farm. In other words, you grew the grain and the grapes and the olives that, you know, would provide your basic sustenance. So the Osafta the Gonecha, the way he's learning, is basically you bring home dinner. In other words, that's think, how he's understanding. You could understand differently, but I think certainly his perspective is to bring home dinner. Okay.